Well, I think I live my life with a general attitude of expectancy. Most people who know me quite well will know that I am a fairly easily excited person. I'm pretty excitable, you know? I expect good things and I get excited about them in the lead up. Occasionally, however, I get incredibly disappointed. Usually this attitude works for me fairly well. Occasionally, extremely disappointed. And in 2018, my friend Rebecca and I went on a big European adventure. And of course, being the people that we are, we decided we would have to make a stop at Disneyland. If you know me well, you'll know I also like Disneyland. So we went to stay at Disneyland in Paris. And we decided that we needed to stay in a hotel room there that was decorated as a Disney Cars room. You know the movie, Disney Cars, Lightning McQueen, ka-chow? Yeah. So the room that we were expecting to stay in looked like this. There's little Lightning McQueens everywhere, little Maters. Everything's themed like the side of a road. You know, the little cones there. Very, very cool. Like, how cool is that, right? If you haven't seen this movie, you need to go and watch it. Maybe you could ask your grandchildren. It's a fantastic movie. And I was extremely excited. Very cultured of me, I know. I'm going on a five-week Europe holiday and I'm most excited about staying in a Disney Cars room at Disneyland, but that's okay. It was honestly all I was talking about in the lead up to this trip. I was so excited. I was making little countdown things about how long it was going to be till I was in the Disney Cars room. I was telling everyone that we're going to stay in this Disney Cars room. Anyway, we arrived in Paris. We got our taxi out to Disneyland and it was quite late at night. And we go to the front counter and they told us that they were overbooked. No cars room. I know, the size in here were better than in the 930, I'll tell you. But anyway, not to worry, because Disney's policy is that if you arrive and something's overbooked, you get upgraded. Something in great. Toy Story room, Lion King room, maybe Aladdin room, right? The lady hands us our ticket to go to the next hotel and find our room. It was a Bambi room. On what planet is that an upgrade? Disney Cars room to a Bambi room. I was clearly devastated. Expectation versus reality on that day was miles apart. It took me a whole 4 minutes to get over myself, but I was disappointed in the moment. Have you ever had an experience like that where your expectation, the build up to something is just so great and then you're disappointed? You're a bit let down. Where your expectations of what is to come are so high, but what actually happens doesn't quite measure up. Perhaps for some of you, you feel a little bit this way in the lead up to Christmas. All this build up, all this excitement, all this hype, and the Grinch inside of us says, why? What is it all for? Do we really have to? Maybe for some of us at this time of year, we tend to lower our expectations. Christmas isn't a great season, so we don't believe for great things. I don't know where you're at today. But I really hope that by the end of this service, you are reminded that this season of expectancy is actually a gift, a time for us to look forward with excitement, with hope, with expectation of the promised Saviour. As Kylie already said this morning, next weekend actually marks the beginning of Advent and we're jumping the gun because we're having our community brunch on Christmas Eve, which we're very excited about. But usually Advent is the four Sundays in the lead up to Christmas. And the word Advent simply means arrival. So it is this season for us of celebrating the arrival, the anticipation, getting ready for the coming of Jesus. And as we do that, this season at Parramatta Salvos, we're going to be focusing on the gifts that God gives to us in this season. And the first one of those is the gift of expectancy. James says in James chapter 1, 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting of shadows. We often talk about the gifts that we might give or receive each other, but actually God has given us some incredible gifts that are shown to us through the life, death, resurrection of this little baby that was born at Christmas time. And so this morning, I just want to focus on a couple of things that we might do to raise our expectancy in this time to truly embrace and enjoy the lead up to Christmas Day. And the very first thing, very simply this morning, is that we should expect more. Expect more. What if this Christmas we decided we are going to raise the level of expectancy? We embrace this season of waiting, of anticipation, recognizing that it is a gift given to each one of us. In the scripture this morning, it says in verse 9 to 12, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, that's the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in this town of David, the Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, firstly, I love this part of the story because it reminds us that God is so often entering into our ordinary. The shepherds, they come, they're there, the most humble members of society, and they're just doing their day-to-day work. And then this is contrasted by these angels, these miraculous out-of-this-world beings that come to announce the arrival. There's a juxtaposition here, two contrasting images, something that is often used in the book of Luke. These angels versus these shepherds. And it's supposed to serve as a reminder, as it does throughout the Christmas story, that the advent of the Messiah transforms our ordinary. The coming of Jesus is supposed to transform our ordinary. For these shepherds in the field, this announcement changed everything. It changed their ordinary. But you know, unlike the shepherds in this situation, we can really take the time to be expectant, to raise our level of excitement, of anticipation, because we already know the outcome. We already know, unlike the shepherds did maybe at that time, that Jesus is in fact the Messiah, that he would go on to be the Saviour of the world, the one who brings great joy for all people. We already know what happens. Unlike my Disney Cars room and my experience of disappointment, there is no uncertainty that our expectations won't be met at Christmas time. So actually, we get to enjoy this. We get to embrace the anticipation, the growing expectancy as the time of arrival draws near. So I want to encourage you this season to begin living in a state of expectancy, to expect more, not to get totally swept up in the craziness, the chaos, or to just go along with everything that happens and miss the opportunity to focus on Jesus. This good news that was given to the shepherds should excite us even more because we know it to be true. We know that they went and they found Jesus there. And we know what is ahead, that this little boy grew up to be the Saviour of the world. See, after the shepherds received these good news, this clue of good news, they raised their expectations. And those expectations, they didn't just sit around and marvel at what had happened. Those expectations caused them to do something else. It caused them to go and to seek out this promised Saviour. Their expectancy caused seeking. And what they found was this picture that so often is on our Christmas cards or sometimes behind the stage in church, this nativity scene where Jesus is with Mary and Joseph asleep on the hay, this beautiful scene. That is what they found because they sought Jesus. Verse 16 says, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. See, their expectancy led them to seeking. And that leads us to our second point today, and that is that we should seek more. What if this Christmas we increased our commitment to seeking Jesus? See, it was always God's desire for his followers to seek him and to find him and to experience the full measure of who he was. It wasn't some wild goose chase that these shepherds were sent on. The intention all along is that they would come and they would find the Saviour when they went seeking after him and to worship him and adore him. And you know, I love during this season in particular that we see some of the parallels that are drawn throughout Scripture. Some of the prophecies that are fulfilled, the promises, the completion of what was said to come. And while Jeremiah 29:11 is probably the most overquoted out of context verse of Scripture ever, and I don't want a mug with that on it for Christmas, thank you, I want us to go back to that today. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. See, nearly 600 years before this night in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, the people of God, the Israelites, they were living in this foreign land. They had been defeated by their enemies. They'd been uprooted from their homes, families potentially separated, removed from familiar surroundings. And they were made to live in a place where it would have felt oppressive, dark, lonely, a place where they probably had little hope. And so God sends this messenger named Jeremiah with good news for these people. In the Message paraphrase, it says, this is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and wanting it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you, bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it. See, those words that Jeremiah spoke to those people were a gift. They were a gift of hope. They were a gift that helped raise their expectation for what was to come. The promise of a great future. Hope. Expectancy. The verse that's often forgotten that follows these words in Jeremiah 29:11 from verses 12 to 13 says, then you will call on me and come to me and pray, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I wonder today, are you in a season of seeking? Are you seeking him with all your heart, day in, day out? Are you calling on him? Are you praying to him? Can you do that even more? Maybe, and this might sound kind of crazy, at the beginning of this season where there's so much on, there's so much to do, but maybe this is the season to renew some of our rhythms that help us to seek Jesus. Maybe this Christmas season, as we prepare for the arrival of Jesus, it is time to start seeking him even more. Practically speaking, reading our Bibles, praying. Maybe it's time you downloaded an app or found a new reading plan that helps you prepare for Advent. There's so many of them out there. But maybe this today is the time to reset some of our rhythms, to really seek Jesus. Maybe for some of us, it's following in the creative footsteps of Eddie, who was on the video. And maybe it's time that you hid baby Jesus in a way that causes other people around you to seek him. Maybe there's some other people in your life that might need to find Jesus in this season. And perhaps you need to make way for someone else to seek Jesus in this season. Maybe you need to take opportunities to serve, to invite someone to come to church or a Christmas concert. Share how you're involved here at Parramatta. Maybe this is time to reset our seeking, to expect more, to seek more, to seek Jesus with this sense of joy and anticipation rather than out of obligation. Embrace this gift of expectancy and all the gifts that are to come. And to help us to do that today, to help us to reset, to spend a moment seeking Jesus, we're going to sing the words of Charles Wesley, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus." I want you to ask God this morning as we reflect. Ask him to renew your capacity to expect more this season. Ask him to show you how you might seek him more, how you might spend time with him to understand him. May we be people this season whose primary priority in the lead up to Christmas is to seek the heart of the Saviour. Before Gabe plays this for us and we sing, I'm going to read these words over us as a prayer this morning. So I'd invite you to close your eyes and to listen to the words of this song. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. All thy people's consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient measure, raise us to thy glorious throne.